You've heard me talk about CTC Math for some time now, but have you tried it out yet? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective. This online math program uses creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I'm your host, Yvette Hampton, joined by my awesome co-host, Abinella. This is part two of our conversation with Alex Newman, and this is our 150th episode. If you haven't yet heard part one of this conversation, you'll want to go back and listen. You will be so encouraged. Now on to part two. I want to go back to something that you talked about just a little while ago, and you were talking about phonics versus other methods of teaching reading, and you literally just like blew by that really quickly. Talk about that a little bit, because I know that's something that you've studied, and I've never actually heard anyone, I mean, I know the difference between the two, but how has that played into what's happening today?
Yeah, I'll try to condense it into as quick a time as possible. It's such a huge subject, but it's such an important subject. And I'm so glad you asked, Yvette, because I know there's a lot of homeschool moms out there right now who are thinking about this exact thing. And I know how hard it is because my wife and I, you know, me knowing all this, I had the chance to work with Sam Blumenfeld, who was banging the drums on this for 60 years. We tried to go out and find phonics books for our children, and we'd order one and we'd open it up and the first page would say, here's the list of sight words your children are going to remember. Oh my goodness, you know, kick me in the face, please. Really? And so I'll try to boil it down quick. So there's two basic ways today of teaching reading. And there's some variations on those, but for simplicity's sake, let's just call it two. There's the phonics method, which has been used from the time we had our written alphabet, right? From going back clear to the Phoenicians. Right. It was an incredible development in human ingenuity. Instead of having symbols represent words or ideas, we had symbols that represented sounds. And so a P makes a P sound, and an O makes a U sound, and a P is a P sound, and so that spells pop, right? That's very, very simple. That's phonics. Each symbol represents one or more sounds. You blend those together, and then you can decipher any word that you might come across. I mean, it could just be any combination of symbols, and you can sound that out and understand what it's supposed to mean, assuming it has meaning.
Right.
The other basic way of teaching reading, which is used all over the United States today, is the whole word method. And, you know, it's got such a bad smell. They started coming up with new disguises for it. They call it the sight word method and the look say method. And now they've got whole language. They introduced some, you know, caveats and stuff to try to conceal the craziness. But the heart of this one is you treat the words as symbols themselves. And of course, words are not symbols. Words are collections of symbols that you can sound out to determine what that word means. And so, you know, the history of this is really instructive. I mean, you know, I don't want to give any bad feelings toward the people who developed this. They were actually good Christians who had the best of intentions. The guy was called Reverend Golodetz. He was running an asylum for, they called it the deaf and the dumb back then in Connecticut. And what he said was, well, you know, we can't teach a deaf child how to sound out a word because you can't teach a deaf child what, you know, what the symbol corresponds with in terms of sounds. So what if, and he got this idea from some French monastery where they had been trying this out on deaf and mute children. So what if we teach the children to memorize entire words as if the word itself were a symbol? So you take the word cat as an example. You know, if you were teaching it phonetically, you would say a C is a K, an A is a U, and a T is a T. And so the child could then read that by deciphering what each of those symbols stands for. So the Golodetz method, and he actually created a primer for this in early America, was let's teach the children how to decipher cat just from the symbol. So C-A-T, you don't decipher that as a C, an A, and a T. That just, when you see the squiggly lines like that, that means cat. And you can memorize those. And what he figured out was really smart kids could memorize hundreds, and really, really smart kids could maybe even memorize thousands of words that way. And so if you're a deaf child and you've never been able to access the written word because you can't hear sounds, that is an enormous leap forward in terms of being able to communicate with the world. It was a great development. But then Horace Mann, our favorite from just a moment ago, he said, hey, why don't we try this in the public schools that I've created in Boston? And they did. And it only took a few years for the quackery to be exposed. I've actually got a book behind me. Where did I? Right here. The New Illiterates. Can you guys see that? Mm-hmm. It's by Dr. Sam Blumenfeld in 1973. And he has got a treasure in there. In the appendix, he republished the letter that the schoolmasters from all the public schools in Boston wrote to Horace Mann about this quackery that he had put into the schools, teaching non-deaf children to read using the whole word method. And it's beautiful. It's eloquent. It's not, you know, me. It's not written like it would be today. You know, you're a poo-poo head and we don't like you, so you should be quiet. And it's just a beautiful, eloquent explanation of why the whole word method is not a proper way for teaching reading when you have a phonetic writing. You know, in China, that's how they do because that's the writing system they have. For mm-hmm. them, a symbol actually represents a word, so you actually have to memorize tens of thousands of symbols. Our writing system is not like that. So they took it apart. They dismantled it. This beautiful essay, they said, you know, sorry, Mr. Mann, we tried it. It didn't work. They actually explained that the children were getting symptoms of what we would today call dyslexia. They said, you know, they couldn't read. They would read words backwards. And so they actually explained exactly what was happening. And so we didn't hear about it again until our good friend John Dewey came along and said, hey, let's resurrect that whole word method. And he tried it out in that experimental school that the Rockefellers funded. Actually, the kids graduated illiterate. They couldn't read properly. And John Dewey thought, hey, this will be perfect. Let's create some reading primers. And he did. He created the Dick and Jane series, which, you know, a lot of our parents mm-hmm. and our grandparents use. See, spot, run, run, spot, run. Right. This is just teaching the children to memorize the whole word. And now this is ubiquitous in America. Now, there's still a lot of rogue teachers who will defy the Common Core standards and who will use only phonics. But if the administration figures out, if the school board figures out, if the state superintendent figures out, there's going to be a big problem. So, you know, a lot of parents now have figured this out. So they teach their children to read using phonics before they send them to school. And, you know, after you know how to read using phonics, all the sight words in the world are not going to hurt you. But mm-hmm. It's such a tragedy and it's so unnecessary. America was the most literate society mm-hmm. on the planet before this innovation right. came. I mean, if you look at the literacy data we have from the early 1800s, I mean, there was one guy, DuPont de Nemours. He did a study of literacy in the United States in 1812. He said not more than 4 in 1,000 young people were unable to read and write even legibly, he said.
Wow. Okay.
If you look at the reading statistics from the government today, they will tell you that most of our children today are below basic proficiency. We have tens of millions, maybe 100 million, maybe more, who are functionally illiterate. Some wow. parts of Washington, D.C., half the population is functionally illiterate. And the reason why is very simple. They were taught to memorize words rather than to sound out the words. And so what they do under Common Core now, you know, they say, well, first we're going to do the sight words, then we'll sprinkle in a little bit of phonics after you've already built that faulty reflex in your brain. And so that really does enormous, devastating damage to the children. And that's why so many children today, you know, I think Satan probably just thought this was brilliant. You know, hey, if they can't read, they can't read the Bible.
That's right.
Yes,
right.
For sure.
That's right.
And they can't go to the library. They can't educate themselves. They won't know their history. They won't be able to read their constitution.
That's
this
right.
is positively brilliant. And, you know, that brings us to today. So
that's so good. So and I also think like I'm a previous teacher. So I went through the whole indoctrination of college on how to teach kids. And granted, this was in we learned how to teach them phonetically. But then we had the Fry sight word list that was thrown in. And however, I always thought it was interesting. You just hit it. If you're only doing sight words, you tend to do sight words that are applicable to your culture and to your time period, which means so many words from the Bible or the Constitution or history, those aren't words that we necessarily see so much anymore. And so you're not going to be able to read those things. So it in one sense was brilliant for those people to come up with that if they want an illiterate generation. So as I am not that familiar with Common Core only because I got out of the education system before it came in. I mean, I learned to teach phonics. We taught phonics. We taught the right way to teach math. And then this whole Common Core thing came flooding in and I kind of missed the boat on that because by then I was out of the system. I already knew what worked because it's worked forever. So why reinvent the wheel? So will you hit a little bit on what is Common Core? Why is it not a good thing? Both academically, socially, and I've heard a lot of negative things even as far as family and how it can, you know, kind of undermine parents' authority and teaching. And so can you kind of just briefly discuss what is Common Core?
Yeah, I mean, Common Core is an abomination on steroids. I mean, it is so bad from every possible respect. And so I'll start with the academic one, because, you know, that's right. The one that I think your average parent would be most concerned about. For me, that's secondary. But, you know, even they put together this Common Core validation committee. These were handpicked. There was supposed to be a rubber stamp by the Common Core people to say, hey, these are fine. We should use them all over America. And mind you, we had never officially had national standards before Common Core. Yeah, they came in through the back door. You know, No Child Left Behind, the testing kind of all started being aligned, but we had never officially had a set of national standards. So globalist deep state insiders, people from the Council on Foreign Relations, people out of the Bilderberg, CEOs of IBM and the mega corporations, they formed a front group called Achieve Inc. and created probably the worst standards that I have ever seen. I mean, I can't think of any set of standards that would be worse than Common Core off the top of my head. And they put together this Common Core validation committee. They had two subject matter. So you don't have to take my opinion. They had two subject matter experts on this committee, one for English, one for math. And I know both of them. I serve on a board with them for U.S. Parents Involved in Education. They're delightful people. We disagree on plenty of things, but not on the fact that kids ought to get a decent education. And so we'll take the math expert first, Dr. James Milgram, Stanford mathematician. You know, he was okay with national standards. He was okay with the idea of Common Core, but he looked at these math standards, he said, what? I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. They're as non-challenging as possible. That's a direct quote. Some of them are based on incorrect math. He said, if you exposed a child to this for several years, they'd be handicapped in mathematics for the rest of their life. Mm-hmm. Right? This is just a disaster. He said, I'm not going to sign off on that. That's absurd. So the only math expert refused to sign off. They just took his name off the website, pretended he didn't exist. Then on the English front, they had a Dr. Sandra Stotsky, wonderful lady. I really like her a lot. She's from Massachusetts. She used to be a professor of education down at University of Arkansas. Delightful lady. She's fine with national standards, or at least she was the last time I interviewed her about this. She thought it was okay to have national standards, but then she looked at what was happening under Common Core and she said, oh my goodness, you're going to reduce the critical thinking abilities of children. You're taking out all the great literature. You're replacing it with like Obama's executive orders and EPA regulations on roof insulation. You know, even if the kid could read, they wouldn't want to read. There's no way I'm signing off on this. So they took her name off the website. The only two subject matter experts were so appalled by this, they refused to sign their name onto it. Mm. And that tells you from an academic standpoint what it looks like. It's a disaster from the very beginning. One of the ladies they actually hired to help write the early reading standards. Very nice lady, Dr. Louisa Motes. I had a very nice opportunity to interview her. We spent a long time on the phone. And, you know, I probably wouldn't agree with her on much of anything. But we do agree on the basics. If children are going to read, they must learn phonics. They must understand the relationship between the symbol, which is the letter, and the sound that it makes. And she said, you know, I put that in there. They took it all out. And children are not going to be able to learn how to read this way. This is crazy. So she started speaking out publicly and they just pretended like she didn't exist. So these are all people who came out of Common Core world who are telling you it's a disaster. You know, you're right about the assault on parents, on parental rights, on it really undermines a child's confidence in their parents, because a first grader comes home with math homework and the parent looks, I mean, they might be a professional mathematician. They might be an accountant or a physicist. And they look at this and say, you know, I can't help you with this. So this might as well be in Chinese, right? This makes no sense. You can't teach a kid that way. And so what does the child think? Oh, my parents, they must be dummies, but the school, they know everything. And that right off sets off something important in their mind. And I'll say one more thing about the Common Core. I know we're coming up at the end of our time here.
No, we're good.
probably my biggest concern about Common Core, you know, a lot of people say it's the nationalization of education. And it was, in a very real sense. We had national standards for the first time in American history, formalized. But even more than that, you know, one of the articles we did in this Rescuing Our Children special issue, and actually I've written about it recently in a series of columns that I'm doing for the Epic Times. If people subscribe to that, they can read that. I've got a 15-part series going on 16. But Common Core is actually the globalization of education. And even a lot of people who understand Common Core don't recognize that this is actually part of an international program. Mm-hmm. So I'll give you just a couple quick data points. And if people want to go dig more, I've written very extensively on this. You can find it all in my writings. Bill Gates was, other than the U.S. taxpayer, the chief financier of Common Core. He put $2.3 billion of his own money into it. Well, a few years before that, He was over at UNESCO headquarters in Paris, France. UNESCO is the UN Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, signing an agreement with his own hand on behalf of Microsoft to work together in the creation of global standards, global curricula, global teacher training programs, global technology standards to get technology into all the classrooms, and basically the globalization of the education system. And UNESCO has been on this mission for a very long time. See, a lot of people don't realize this. They even have a world core curriculum, they call it, developed by the Assistant Secretary General of the UN, Robert Mueller. Fun fact, and I won't go too deep into this, you got to go do your own digging. The guy who wrote the standards, the World Core Curriculum, actually admitted in the foreword to the teacher's manual that it's based on the teachings of Alice Bailey. Now, all I'm going to say about Alice Bailey is that she was the founder of the Lucifer Publishing Company.
Wow.
So you don't have to do a lot of dot connecting to see what's going on here. Now, UNESCO has been bragging for years now that they are globalizing the education system. I've got advertisements from the Common Core people where they're actually bragging. You might have seen that video that I've shown in a lot of my speeches, where the Common Core people who created it are bragging that it lines up with international standards, so that children in Shanghai and children in Paris and children in Chicago will all be learning from the same standards. But hey, local communities can still design their own curriculum. But they're all based on the same standards and they're all using the same testing. So all the children of the world eventually will be learning the same garbage if we allow this to continue. That is the ultimate objective. They haven't fully come out of the closet on that yet, unless you read these, you know, really dense, obscure reports out of UNESCO. But that's where this is going, folks. They have big, big plans. And homeschoolers out there, I know a lot of you are like, oh, I'm so glad I'm not part of that. They're coming for you too, okay? Yep. We are not exempt from this. They are coming for us. Maybe not tomorrow, but they're coming for us.
Oh, absolutely. They're coming for our children wherever they are and however they can get a hold of them. Does it feel like you spend more time searching for educational videos than watching them? Are you looking for educational games and activity books? Do you need some virtual field trips to supplement your studies? Then Homeschool History is for you. Homeschool History is a new online resource from the team at Knotgrass History. You can use your phone, tablet, or computer to find history-related videos, games, websites, field trips, and more. Visit homeschoolhistory.com to start your free trial today. The 2020 Homegrown Generation Family Expo is available now to encourage you. You'll enjoy practical homeschooling encouragement, advice, and resources from many of your favorite homeschool leaders. Here are just a few of the testimonials from those who have enjoyed this online conference. Rachel said, "Best homeschool conference I have ever attended. Filled my soul and definitely God-driven." Katie said, "This was absolutely amazing. I have been so encouraged and blessed. The one thing that stood out to me about each session I have listened to is that every single one pointed us back to Jesus, back to Him who is faithful. Thank you for everyone who made this possible." And another homeschool mom said, "Thank you so much for all the value provided at this price. We are a big family with a super tight budget. My husband was encouraged. The boys listened in too. A relief to find this resource at such an affordable price with so much value." Register today at homegrowngeneration.com for a free preview, over 9 hours of content, or register for lifetime access to the entire conference for just $20. Go to homegrowngeneration.com today. You know, one of the things I want to talk to you about is right now we are seeing, we just got the letter from our local school district. It actually hasn't been made public yet, but most have seen it, saying that schools are not going to go back in session this fall. They're going to kind of push off the start date because now the teachers are trying to figure out how they're going to do this virtual online school thing. They've just put on order over 14,000 laptop computers to hand out to the students in our area. And they're going virtual here because, you know, it's incredibly dangerous to be in school right now. And what we're seeing is this mass exodus from school. And we're seeing it on two parts. We're seeing those parents who, before all of this, and as Corona started to roll in and the shutdown and all of that, parents saying, you know what, I was thinking about homeschooling before and now I'm really feeling like I can do this. Now I've seen that I can do this homeschool thing. And so we're just going to go for it. We're going to homeschool. And then you've got another set of parents who don't have a choice. they have to homeschool because they have no school to put their children in. And there are the homeschoolers and then there are the virtual schoolers, but they're all kind of being clumped into this universe of homeschooling, which is not all the same. It's almost two universes colliding. I know it's very scary for a lot of parents who don't know exactly what they're going to do and how they're going to educate their kids. Where I'm going with this is I see a lot of these parents saying, okay, we can do this for a short time, maybe for the first couple months of school, maybe the first semester. But then as soon as school goes back into session, we're putting our kids back into school. And these are the parents I really want to talk to right now. We've talked about the history of public schools. We've talked about the agenda that has been pushed for decades now to get us to the point where we are. Alex, talk about the reality, and I'm not talking just about Common Core. Talk about the reality of the indoctrination that's happening in the public school system right now. We have many friends we're from California, and so we have many, many friends in California who are public school educators. These are people that we love, people that we've gone to church with, and they say, no, our kids need to be salt and light in the public school. We need to have these Christian kids in there. They're doing okay. And for whatever reason, a lot of these parents are still not really seeing the full picture of the indoctrination that's happening. Can you talk about that and just bring it? I mean, I really want these parents to know the reality of what is happening to the minds of their children and why so many children, even if their children aren't walking away from the faith, why it's dangerous for kids, not just physically. I mean, of course, we see that. My niece goes to a public school in Saugus, California, that just, 6 months ago, or I don't even know when it was, several months ago, they had a school shooting. So physically it's not safe, but spiritually and emotionally, what is the damage that's going on right now?
Yeah, this is, I think, the most important question. And the data now is very clear. Dan Smithwick at the Nehemiah Institute has been studying this for quite some time. And what he's found is that the overwhelming majority of Christian children from good Christian homes who spend 12 years in a government indoctrination center masquerading as a school are going to leave the faith. I mean, it's up there in the 80% range.
Right.
And that's the kids who come from good Christian homes with two Christian parents whose parents take them to church, right? Yep. The data now is very clear. My generation, millennials, right? 70%, a poll just came out late last year, 70% of millennials now describe themselves as socialists. This would have been unthinkable to earlier generations of Americans, that we would give up all our freedom, that we would give up our understanding of God and trade it in for this cheap fraud that is socialism, that always and everywhere results in death and misery and shortages and tyranny. I mean, it would have been unthinkable. The reason this is happening is because of the indoctrination going on in the schools. And, nowadays it's gotten so extreme. You have kindergarten, especially in California, but this is now a nationwide issue. In kindergarten, they're telling children they might have been born in the wrong body, and we won't tell your parents if you want to wear a dress to school, little boy. I mean, that's the level we're at. In California now, they've got gender support plan and individual transition plan, where they'll start giving your kid hormones and puberty blockers to prepare them for genital mutilation. I mean, I can't even believe I'm saying this. Right. And yet this is the reality of what our children are going through now at the youngest possible ages in government schools. And they're being just saturated in this race mongering and the hatred of America and the hatred of Christianity. Our kids are not safe in the public schools, folks. It's that simple. We've got to get them out. And so, for people who really want the condensed version, that's why we produce this. It's a whole special issue dealing just with the education. You can get a copy of this if you go to thenewamerican.com/rescuingourchildren. You can get it in PDF for like 75 cents. If you want a physical copy, we have to mail you one. I think it costs like $3. And you can get 100 if you want to give it to your pastor and your neighbors. It's an excellent tool because we, we have Duke and Israel and great Americans who've worked on these things, showing the problem and then the solution. So, that'll give you a really comprehensive overview of what's happening and where this is going and how you can free yourself and protect your children. But, I'll just wrap it up by saying, people tell me all these different excuses. Oh, I can't afford to get my kids out. You can't afford not to get your kids out. Okay. When they come home and they want to mutilate themselves and they're suicidal and they're taking heroin. And I mean, I've seen this in my own family, in my own community. This is ubiquitous now. You can't afford not to get your children out. And then, the salt and light thing. Oh, my kids are going to be salt and light. would you send your children into a war, right? Would you send your children off to go fight in Iraq or, you know, whatever? Of course you wouldn't, right? We know better than to send our children into armed conflict. And yet God tells us crystal clear, right? Go to Ephesians 6:12. We are in a spiritual war.
That's right.
And if you don't recognize that you're in a spiritual war, you might be on the wrong side. So right. Probably better get up to speed. But we're in a spiritual war right now. The idea that we would send our children into battle alone, without us, where our enemy holds all the power, where the enemy holds all the commanding heights. They're the ones who are going to teach your children. I mean, it's just unfathomable to me. And I know a lot of Christians, like, they don't want to think about it this way because, hey, you know, we both have to work and we don't have enough money. You know, I tell people, I would live in a cardboard box yep. before I would send my children to a public school. And I don't mean that in a condescending way at all. Mom and dad, who you've got your kids in a public school, I'm not judging you. You know, it's just you don't know these things because your pastor mm-hmm. hasn't told you and the fake media hasn't told you. So now I'm telling you because I love you and because I love your kids and I don't want them to be destroyed. I don't want them to be brainwashed. I don't want them to turn against you and turn against your church and turn against our country. I think, frankly, the only solution, you know, to go to with the title of this show, the only way we're going to be able to save our freedoms, our nation, our families, our churches, absent, you know, just straight divine intervention and God, you know, just comes down and fixes it all for us, is going to be to get our children out of the public schools and to make sure they're getting a good, godly, Christ-centered education, either in our homeschools or in a good Christian school, if for whatever reason you absolutely can't homeschool. But parents, you have no higher responsibility to your children than to make sure they're getting a good education in the things of God. And that's on you, folks. That's on you.
That's right.
Amen.
That is so good. Quickly before we close out, Yvette had mentioned, you know, many, many parents listening to this are listening because their kids are coming home, whether they wanted them to or not, because of what's going on with, you know, school shutdowns. And like she said, in California, and it's happening across the nation. And I just want to touch really quick on, there is an absolute difference between public school at home, which is your kids coming home with the public school curriculum, which is this online thing that the schools are sending home with your kids, and privately funded, parent-led, home-based education. Those are two different things that I think a lot of parents that are listening to you, if you're listening to Alex right now and this scares you and you are thinking, I don't want my kid going down this road. I had no idea this was the foundation of education in America. I had no idea this is what my kids were learning. Thank goodness they're getting sent home this fall and the teachers are going to be online with them. That is not the case. If you are doing public school at home, that same curriculum, that same agenda is just coming into your house. You're just not sending your kids 8 hours a day to get it. It's still in there. So what we really promote here at Schoolhouse Rocked is parent-led, home-based, privately funded education, because with that, that is where we can work Christ into math, language, science, right. History. That is where we make Christ the center of everything we do. And that's not happening with public school at home. So we just want to make sure that parents that are just listening and unsure, that they know that there is a difference there, that public school at home and homeschool, those are two different things, not because, you know, we sit over here and think we're better, but because, again, our intent is to put Christ as the center of everything we do. And the only way we can do that is if we take full responsibility. Like Alex said, it's on us. If we take full responsibility in doing that. So I just wanted to say that. And, you know, every state has a state homeschool organization mm-hmm. that promotes privately funded, home-based, parent-led education. They can help you. They can give you the laws. They can give you what you need. And that's what we promote here at Homeschool Idaho. And I know that's what Alex is behind because, again, the whole focus is Christ at the center of everything we do.
Yeah, that's right. And I want to piggyback on that really quickly, Abby, too, because earlier, Alex, you were talking about, we were talking about phonics versus other methods of teaching reading. And you brought that all back to, if our kids can't learn how to read, they can't read the Word of God. And one of the things that we've seen firsthand in our family is our youngest daughter, she's 9 years old right now. I didn't teach her how to read. I mean, I didn't use any kind of a phonics curriculum or anything like I did with my older daughter. She actually, the way she learned to really read and has gotten to be a really strong reader is we read the Bible together every single day as a family. Yeah. And in the very beginning, and this is the Word of God, there are a lot of hard words in there that I have to sound out, you know, a lot harder than cat. And so, you know, we've done it their whole lives. And a couple years ago, my husband said, okay, Lacey, it's your turn to start reading. And it would take her quite some time to get through a verse, but we would help her sound it out at, you know, the whole family. Even sometimes her sister will jump in, even still, and she will just sound out verses. Okay, what sound does that make? What sound does this make? And before we knew it, she was reading, and she's reading the Word of God. And we've said that so many times, if all we ever had to teach our kids, you know, someone commented on here and said, what phonics program do you use? Mm-hmm. If all we ever had was the Word of God to teach our kids, God's Word will teach them everything they need to know about science, about Amen. History, about grammar, about God's kingdom, about God's love for them, about everything. And this whole talk, you know, we titled the education, the key to saving our nation. There's only one key, and that key is Jesus. Mm-hmm. God is the only thing that's going to save our nation. And we're raising up the next generation. We are raising adults, and we have got to raise these kids up to know Jesus, to mm-hmm. follow him, no matter what the cost, because there's going to be a great cost. There already yep. is a cost involved, but the cost is only going to get greater. And if they yep. don't know their Savior and they don't know what they believe and they can't defend their faith, they're going to be completely lost. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, thank you for opening our eyes up to the agenda behind the public schools. You know, as you said, Alex, you know, Abby and I don't do this because we have so much extra time on our hands. And because, you know, we're making millions of dollars doing a homeschool podcast. We do this because we love the children of our nation. Children are heritage from the Lord. We talked about that earlier. They are a heritage from the Lord. They are a blessing to our nation. And so let's raise these kids up to know him, to serve him, to obey him, to Amen. Know God's moral law and to follow his moral law. But if they don't know how to read, they're never going to know how to do that. And if we're not teaching that to them and expecting the church to do it, well, we're going to be in for quite a surprise. So yeah. Well, thank you. I want to ask one last question to you, Alex. Can you just offer some hope? Because this stuff is so heavy and it's scary to look at, you know, our nation around us and know that we've all got young kids. You have them, Alex, Abby has them, I have them. And we look at the future of our nation. Offer some hope to parents out there, to grandparents, to Abby. What can you say to just give us some hope?
Well, you know, I think the most hopeful thing to know is that, you know, you can read the end of the book. We know where this is going.
That's right.
So no matter how bad it gets down mm-hmm. here, no matter if everything comes crashing down, we know who wins in the end.
That's
and
right.
that is God. And you want to be on that side. Trust
Amen.
Me. So I think that's the most hopeful thing that we can know. And in the meantime, you know, God has got us here for a reason. He's given us plenty of assignments. I mean, anybody who says, I don't know what God would have me do, just open your Bible. Okay. There's so much stuff you could be doing. And it starts in your home. It starts with your children.
That's right.
So, you know, God will make a way. God is always faithful to his people. And, you know, if the country goes down in flames, and it might, you know, I'm not going to say that, you know, America is going to see this great revival and we're all going to be fine. And, you know, it might not happen, but we just have to do what God told us to do. And that is to disciple our children, take good care of our families, right? If you don't take good care of your family, you're worse than an infidel, God said, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got to do those things that God has commanded us to do. And in the meantime, you know, we have some great freedoms. So, you know, moms, dads out there, let's take advantage of these freedoms. Right now, we can yank our children out of school in all 50 states. Yeah. We've got to fight to preserve these freedoms. I think there is an awakening going on in this country. There's an yeah. awakening in the church, which is just, you know, for me, this is just made my year. Just the sermon we had on Sunday. People are waking up to the lies of the enemy, to what the enemy is doing. And you know, it's so incredible to be even just a tiny little part of God's plan. You know, even if all we do is raise up some children who go out and do something great for the kingdom, I'll be so satisfied with that. That's all I could ever ask for. So mm-hmm. guys, take heart. God is so much more powerful than all of his enemies
that's
combined.
Right.
I mean, he could just flick them away and that's the end of it. So, you know, we're on his team.
That's right.
That's all we need to know. And, you know, if I could, just a couple more things,
sure.
guys, parents out there, if you're thinking about getting your kids out, we've just launched a new ministry recently. It's called Public School Exit. You can go to publicschoolexit.com. We're even helping with the financing where we can. We're forming partnerships with private schools. Freedom Project Academy is a school mm-hmm. that I work with. I teach there, you know, for parents who need a little bit of extra help. I teach advanced economics there to high school seniors.
That's an online school. right?
That's an online K through 12 school. And, you know, if you just want someone to teach your children chemistry or Latin or whatever, you know, you can sign up for a class there. And again, you know, I think this is just, it's such a good resource because it's all that you need to know about the history, about where we came from. All the articles are online for free, by the way. You don't have to pay any money. You can just look them up. But it's called Rescuing Our Children. And it just, it breaks it all down for you. So, you know, what we just covered here is just a very, very superficial look at these problems. I mean, we're not even scratching the tip of the iceberg, but I'm so honored to come on the podcast with you ladies. Thank you so much for having me. It's just been wonderful. And it's so good to know that there are other godly families out there who are doing what God has called us to do. It's a blessing to be with you and a privilege. And I thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. This is actually very exciting to know. This is our 150th episode of the podcast. So I cannot think of a better way to just tie it with a pretty red bow and bring some encouragement to our audience. So thank you so much, Alex, for joining us for the 150th episode. And those of you listening, I hope this has been a great encouragement to you. We really, the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked exists to encourage you and to equip you to disciple the hearts of your children. We love you guys. We pray for you constantly as a family. I mean, our Garrett and I and our two girls, we constantly pray for you, and we pray that God would use us to impact our God's kingdom and your lives. And so thank you for just being with us today. If you would like to support the ministry of Schoolhouse Rocked, please go to the website. We are really in need of support. I mean, everything that we do, the movie is in post-production right now, and it's going so well, you guys. It's been so very exciting to see it all coming together. Garrett has been working really hard on just getting this movie done, and it has brought tears to my eyes more than once. And if you know me, you know I do not cry easily, but it's so exciting to see the movie coming together, and then the podcast and everything that we have going on. It all costs a lot of money to do these things. And so if the Lord puts it on your heart to help support the ministry financially, you can go to schoolhouserocked.com, and there's a link there. You can actually make a tax deductible donation and help support the ministry that way. So otherwise, thank you guys. You are an incredible encouragement to us. Thank you for those who continue to send letters in and just comments and stuff, and letting us know that this ministry is a blessing to you. So we love you guys. Have a fantastic rest of your night, and we will see you guys back here soon. Bye-bye.